the pipeline is something a lot of people worry about. But to me, what I am more concerned about is the here and now. What can I do right now to control how I'm feeling, how I'm handling my business? Because you can't predict that future. Although you need to set those goals and your objectives that you want to achieve, but you can't know that that's exactly what's going to happen.
Right.
But you know where you were, you know where you are, you have your goals of where you're going, but focus on today.
You said actually the two best words, which is objectives and objections.
Because, right, yes, yeah, very
because,
true.
And I'm glad you said that because a lot of people, and I know this because I've suffered from this and maybe even still suffer from this, is objections of solutions.
Yes.
And there's this idea where if you speak to someone that's or like a real estate coach, the real estate coaches, from what I've been hearing on the YouTube videos that I watch and the live meetings that I'm in, is do your social videos, do your, you know, personalized videos, build up your rapport, build up your pipeline, build your brand up, don't be pushy, and then eventually, you know, the universe is going to work with you.
Right.
What's your take on that? How can we be more present without feeling anxiety and actually have fun in it?
You know, it's just important to really focus on being true to yourself. And if you're true to yourself in what you're working on, it all comes together nicely. But if you're really, I mean, there's those opportunities that you have to have push goals and put yourself out of your comfort zone. But it's easier to be out of your comfort zone if you are at least focusing on what it is that you're comfortable in doing too. So 80% of the time, do what you're comfortable with. 20% push yourself out of your comfort zone. And then you'll be able to be more comfortable with what is coming your way.
Well said. Okay, so I'm going to present a little bit of a paradox to you. And
I like paradox.
Yeah, and let's work through this. Let's work through this, okay? So I'm a musician and I play music with a guy. His name is Tommy. He's a dear friend of mine. And he's a brilliant musician, producer, composer, engineer, like everything. He does it all. He's amazing, right? But I always say, I was like, why don't you start a YouTube channel? Why don't you promote yourself? And he has this visceral, like almost, you know, nauseam type response where he's like, self-promotion is disgusting to me. I hate self-promoting. And I'm like, that's so interesting because you're so good. And there's a lot of people out there on YouTube that don't know what they're talking about, but because they don't suffer from that,
right,
that they are now becoming the voice when you go and you search for something.
Yes.
And I think, you know, with real estate agents, not all of them, because obviously it's a sales focused profession and you get in it because you're okay being an extrovert and being sales focused and whatnot. But at the same time, there's a lot of people that are really good operators. They're really good, you know, administratively. They're really good at closing deals and getting the owners the keys and getting them inside the house. But from a social media perspective, from an email campaign perspective, YouTube videos, you know, they struggle with that. And there's sort of this idea where if I'm good enough, then the world is going to come to me and through word of mouth and referrals. But maybe we've learned that that's not really the case. Now we have to be almost like the best of both worlds. So what is your message for the world, for the people that don't like the idea of self-promoting?
Well, you know, thinking about your friend, the musician, you know, it's the artist way.
Yeah.
They want to be a true artist.
Right.
They're great at their craft. And that's one pillar of business for them, that pillar of business of performing, but learning the skill of those other pillars that they need to build so they can really present their craft. As a realtor, when I talk with other agents, I talk about building from the ground up, building your pillars. And you've got to grow each one almost like equally, where if you build one completely by itself, the other things aren't going to fall into place. You can't put a second story on a three-story one pillar. Well, maybe you can. There are some funky houses out there. But overall, you have to have four pillars in order to put the second story on and then to put a third story on.
Right.
So as a business person, you've got to decide if you're going to build those other things.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's building your team around you. If you're not that person that can really build each pillar, then you better surround yourself with people that can do those things for you, that can help you get the message out there.
So the name of this podcast is The Pillars of Profitability with Cindy Levinsky from Real Brokerage. out here in Santa Clarita. Give us a little bit of a bio on yourself, your background, how you got into real estate. You had a pivot. You had a big career pivot.
I had a very big pivot.
Explain that.
I have a background in social work. I was going to save the world and make a big difference and a big imprint. And I do believe that I made that imprint. And after 15 years of working in social services, I retired from it. And then I became a full-time mom. And I was a full-time mom for several years. And I said, once my kids are in school, I'm going to get back into the workforce. And it made sense for me to get into real estate. I've always been intrigued by how houses are built and why bathrooms are in certain locations, why some walls are up, and I think about tearing walls down.
Yeah, right.
And so that led me into real estate.
Yeah.
And my husband, who's a musician comedian, we moved to California from Pennsylvania, Ohio. And right at that time, I was like, okay, time to get into, you know, a new career. And for me, transferring what I learned as a social worker to helping people with their home was a very natural progression. And I was very blessed to find real estate over 20 years ago. And thankfully have surrounded myself by great people that have helped me shine and helped me become the best realtor that I can be. And I constantly continue to grow by looking at, I want to be able to sell a home to a current sixth grader. So if you wrap your mind around that, what that means is I have to stay up on all technology. If I don't continue to evolve and grow and embrace what is scary, and that 20% of getting out of my comfort zone and getting on social media, getting on Dub and doing videos, if I don't get out of my comfort zone and do those things, do you think a current sixth grader will be able to connect with me, you know, 12 years from now? So you've got to evolve.
That's really well said. So there was something that you said to me, which really resonated with me the first time, or maybe the second time that we met, which is that we were talking about social media.
Yes.
And you mentioned that you sort of have a team and you work with someone to help you with your social videos and you don't watch them after you post them. And when you said that in that moment, I was like, she's my hero. Because there was a certain confidence and a certain like glow that I saw in your eye when you said this, and I understood it. I knew what you were doing, and I think it had something to do with the fact that it's in the past, and why dwell on it and just put it out there. Give me your take on this. Give us the unlock, because a lot of us suffer from that.
Yes.
A lot of us go post our videos and we watch it and we're like, my hair doesn't look good, my eyes don't look good, my skin is like this, and it just goes on and on and on.
Well, you know, we get paralyzed by scrutinizing, is it perfect? Realizing that our general audience doesn't necessarily want us to be perfect either.
Yeah.
But for me, one, I don't have the time or the energy to go back and look at everything that I put out there. I like to be real. I like to be able to just almost one and done. If I use the wrong word, I'm sure, you know, when people are listening, they probably heard in our last segment, I used the wrong word. Oh, well, was it the end of the world? No. Did things continue on? Are people still listening now? Yes.
Yeah.
It's you have to be confident with that you got your message across.
Yeah.
It's okay if your hair is out of place. It's okay if you left your glasses on and they're dirty. You know, people are not going to judge you as much as you judge yourself. And you've got to be kind to yourself and be respectful of your own time. Be respectful that you put the effort into it. You took the time and energy to do a video or to, you know, go on live, you know, Instagram or Facebook. Just go with it and let it live as it will.
Right. There was this funny moment that I had recently with someone that I know. where one of his videos actually went viral. And I mean viral, like millions of views. And there was this one comment he had to show it to me. We scroll down all the way at the bottom of the comments. And there was this one comment that no one liked, no one, you know, hearted or responded to. And I was like, hey, look at the big zit on his neck. And this comment was all the way at the bottom. No one was reading this comment. It's not like one of those comments that floats to the top because it's the most insightful comment. It was not that whatsoever. But we were laughing about it, and it was sort of a reminder that, you know, you can go and you will go and find that comment.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that person is do we call him a hater? Do we call him, you know, jealous? Yeah. I don't even know if we should address that and even spend any energy on that.
You know, it's so tough. And, you know, with my husband being a musician, comedian, you know, he gets standing ovations. He can be in a room where there's, say, just 200 people in the room, and he gets a standing ovation. He'll step off the stage and he'll mention, did you see that one guy that wouldn't crack a smile, that sat there with his arms crossed the whole time? And you have 199 people that are standing up saying, this was awesome. I haven't had so much fun in my life. But yet that one guy, and you don't know what that one guy's paradigm is, what they're going through, why they're picking out something that's so minor, but they have to draw attention to it. So I work towards forgiving that person for, you know, feeling the need to draw attention to that. Through my husband's experience, very often at the end of a show, people will talk with him after. And on occasion, the guy who sat there with his arms crossed will come up and thank him and say, I'm sorry if, and oh my gosh, I'm ready to get emotional because he said, you know, the one guy was like, I'm sorry if I didn't look like I was enjoying myself, but this is the first time I've been out in about 6 months and I lost my son to a tragedy. And you really helped bring some joy to me, even though it didn't look like it. You know, the guy was just stone-faced the whole time. So you don't know what other people are going through, why they make the comments. And it's hard, though, to focus on the 99% that show the love. But it's a balance in our life. And the better we learn how to deal with that one is the better that you're going to live your life.
So well said. What a story. I mean, someone once told me that when we look at someone's response, it's in many ways a reflection of what we're feeling. You know, if we're feeling anxious and if we're feeling insecure about our performance, our video, our whatever, and then we look at someone, the scowl that we see on their face is exactly a reflection of the insecurity that we feel.
Right.
And there's this thing that Mel Robbins talks about it a lot. She says it's the 5-second rule, where if you indulge in the amygdala response of saying that's an attack on me, you're just indulging in your ego. But if you distance yourself and have this curiosity and this sort of like a separation of emotion, you know, then you actually can feel the empathy and like have the opening.
Find the empathy and what that comment really is saying, because it's not necessarily a true reflection of you. It's more of a reflection of what they're personally going through. And when you find that empathy, then you can continue on. And it actually reminds me of one of the other things that I've started to do more research on and get more knowledge myself on. I'm a big believer in positive affirmations, and just not that I have my list that I read every day, but that self-talk and positive affirmations. I was having a conversation. Boy, I talk about my husband a lot. I was having a conversation with my husband, and we talked about the negative affirmations and how if you think that one negative thing brings all of his friends along. You know, your first negative thing, I don't really feel comfortable being in front of the camera. You know what? You don't look comfortable either. And, you know, you didn't even wear the right clothes today. And your voice is this. And all of a sudden, after just that one little negative comment, all the friends come along with it. Whereas if you start out with, you know, okay, I'm okay with what I wore, you know, and okay, I have a great you know, host that's hosting me, this is going to go good. All of a sudden, all the good friends show up of giving you that positive as to why you're here, what your purpose is, what you want to get across. So focusing on kicking the guy off the left shoulder and saying, get away, Mr. Negative. Come on, come along, friends. Yeah. You know, help me along here.
Right. This reminds me of a story growing up, actually. There was a kid, he was sort of a bully in school. And, you know, it was really easy to say this kid's a bully because you're a victim of this. And you're getting pushed around and stuff. And you can tattletale and you can, you know, fight back and you can cause a scene. You can do all sorts of ruckus to deal with a bully, so to speak. But one time I took the time to understand, you know, why this kid is like this, you know, and I started talking to him and we had some connection moment. And I learned that, you know, sure enough, he was getting mistreated by his father. You know, in fact, he was getting bullied by his father. And his father was a really, really strict, sort of overly dogmatic type that was highly disciplinarian and beyond, to the point of physical. And, you know, this behavior of this kid was just simply a reflection of that.
Right.
And it's really easy, I think, to look at that person, you know, with their arms crossed like this, with a scowl or that negative comment or that even that voice in your head, which is some person from your past.
Yeah.
And to remember that maybe that person's really hurting.
Right.
And maybe that person is just reflecting someone else's negative energy and they're doing what you said, which is bringing their friends, negativity, bringing their friends. And that's a hard thing to work through.
Yes.
It's because when you're in a self-preservation mode, it's really hard to activate empathy and self-preservation. In fact, it uses two completely parts of our brain. The neuroscience doesn't allow to have your prefrontal cortex and your amygdala and your limbic system firing 100% all together. It just doesn't work like that.
Sometimes,
you know?
It can be exhausting.
It's like when I go like this, I don't want to hug you. This is not hug. This is like, don't hurt me.
Right. You know? Yes. Oh, yeah. I have some of those challenges, just my inner challenge. I became a runner 5 years ago and I injured myself and I had a boot on for about 5 weeks. And then another 5 weeks went along before I really said, okay, I'm going to get back into running again. I argue with myself for 5 to maybe 20 minutes in the morning when I'm ready to get up and I'm like, okay, it's time to run. And then all of a sudden, no, you don't have to run today. Why are you running anyways? You're not a runner. Who starts running at your age? And like, I just constantly have an argument. And then finally, my stronger self that has all the reasons why I need to run just says, get your butt out of bed and go now.
Right.
And then I finally do it. But there's that struggle, that inner struggle of doing things that you know are good for you that you've got to do. And, you know, you have everything that was your childhood that you brought forward too, just like your example of the bully and stuff. It's like when things happen to you when you're a child, you bring that into your adult life and you've got to retrain your mind of how you want to think about things and how you're going to respond. And it's not like you can say, oh, I'm an adult now, I'm not going to act like I was, you know, least likely to succeed in school and continue to do nothing.
Right.
Because that was me. I was, you know, least likely to succeed. I was just, let's go have fun and ride motorcycles. And, you know, everybody expected me just to, I joke about it, be barefoot and pregnant. I'm from the countryside. And that's what I had in my mind, what people expected of me. And then I became a successful realtor. So, but all those things you bring with you, you have control of how you start to tell your own story. What's your own inner monologue? What's your own story? How do you want to curb this story to, you're at an intersection. You have the ability to do a U-turn, to make a left, a right, whatever way you want to go, but you have to control your thoughts.
So there was something that you mentioned to me previously, which I really liked. And you said that we've discussed that negativity brings its friends, and that's a really beautiful statement. But I think there's a lot of dialogue, a lot of rhetoric right now in offices just like this building right here, real estate offices, small businesses, big businesses, where we're in a recession.
Yes.
You know, our pipeline's drying up. We need better leads. You know, these people aren't committed. You know, interest rates are too high and we're not getting people to get over the finish line. And there's this idea of, maybe you call it a scarcity mindset. And then what you said to me is, you know, you closed 3 homes this last month, you know,
yeah.
And you sort of stay in your lane and you sort of don't let that frequency affect you. Could you unpack that?
You know, there's been times where it's good to rally around and you have a lot of people around and that energy breeds energy, but also negative energy breeds energy. And there are times in the real estate market that I start to put up my bubble around me, because when I'm at different networking groups and talking with other realtors, they often are starting out with how difficult things are right now and how difficult it is to get things together, and they're not confident with what they're doing and how business is going. I believe in staying in your lane, no matter what type of market that you're in. There's always somebody that needs help. Does it always turn into a business transaction, a closed home? No, but they still need your help. And I'm in this as a helping field that happens to be a salesperson. But as much as I can help people by doing so, the business still comes to me, because I'm not just about, okay, are you going to buy? You're not? Okay, done with you. Move on.
Right.
It's like, you're not going to buy? Okay, well, what kind of help do you need right now? How are things going? Is there anything that I can assist you with? I have, you know, a list of service providers that can help you either with your home, professionally, or even personally. And by doing that, business does come to me just kind of organically and naturally.
So it's almost like this is another interesting paradox, where if you want to sell, you can't really be worried about the people that are just ready to close immediately, because everyone's got a friend.
Everyone's got a friend.
You know, and building those relationships and having it sort of, you know, but I mean, I think what a lot of people struggle with is, I need to close a deal in the next 30 days.
Yes.
So how do you find the balance of saying, I'm going to go help people that are not ready to do something in the next 30 days? How do I help those people build my brand, but at the same time, focus on my low-hanging fruit?
You know, it's when you're in a position of your job is based on your closings. You, as a realtor, I know so many that go through peaks and valleys. Where I've been blessed to create my business in a way that I'm just always helping people and have rarely had peaks and valleys. It's just a consistency of having business and doing business. You can't get into sales in that scarcity and start to have that fear, because not only are you going to struggle with getting a transaction in 30 days, but that's going to scare everybody off and you're not going to have a transaction for 6 months or a year.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a mindset that you have to just know that you're doing the right thing and the business will follow. But if you stop doing what will bring business your way, then the business won't follow.
So this almost sounds like, is this like religion where you just have to have faith without proof? Is this faith without proof?
Faith for a without new, proof.
For, you have proof because you've been around the block.
Right.
But what about for a new entrepreneur, real estate agent, business person, business owner?
Yeah.
How do you have faith without proof?
You have to have faith.
Yeah. Just trust Cindy, okay?
You have to have faith. And, you know, it depends on how the person enters into whatever business it is that they're entering. But if you're entering into the world of real estate, if you have some kind of background and knowledge of something else that you can utilize that can help you develop things into real estate, that it helps. But getting into it, being green with no work history, no educational background, a lot of times people think, oh, well, well, everybody's always told me I should be a realtor because I'm nice. Being nice doesn't make you successful. You know, right. Don't we hear the thing, nice guys always finish last, you know? Yeah. You have to be nice, but you have to have a business sense and the ability to be educated and gain that knowledge so that you can put it all into practice so that you can be successful.
Right.
But the best advice for a realtor just getting into the business, or even somebody that's transitioning maybe to a new area or something, is find a good team leader that will bring you on board and help you grow. And you can work with them, and they have the infrastructure. They have everything that is working, and you can grow with them. And even that can have its challenges if you don't embrace and do what's needed to be done to make it happen.
Well, I mean, this is almost like fixing a massive misnomer that we have in our society where nice guys finish last. And the idea when we hear this is that mean guys finish first. That's the misconception. That's incorrect. We're here to break that. That is not correct. Yeah. What we are saying is people with a process finish first.
Right.
It's not the niceness. You can be nice, but what I just learned from you is that you can with niceness without process.
Correct.
Is not productive.
Correct.
So.
Yeah. And my other thing with niceness, because a lot of times I get accused of being nice and I've gone on listing appointments where I've been told, well, I don't know because you're so nice. And, you know, when we're negotiating, and I have to reinforce, don't take my niceness as a weakness. Just because I'm nice doesn't mean I can't perform at the level you need me to. I actually can perform at a much higher level. I can get more accomplished by being kind and nice to people than being a bully and trying to roll over people and control everything in a very negative way. I get people to do more things by just simply being nice. So it's, you know, part of the whole process of what I have set up for the last 20 years.
Well, this is almost like the modern sales professional now roots themselves in service and empathy. It's not about the grind. It's not about being a hard negotiator, because you might never actually even get to the table.
Right.
If that's the philosophy or mindset that you have.
Right.
Because it kind of repels people now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's really interesting. So there's this idea, I'll change gears. There's this idea where, you know, joy can be defined by doing things that brings us happiness that we can do on a repeated basis, where we can progress, but still get into like a wu-wei kind of sort of autonomic state. So this is the idea. If we're you're a runner, like what's your favorite hobby?
Running.
Okay. So it's like running is a perfect example, because if you start out with running, it's really painful. It's painful on your knees and your calves, and it's like the stamina and the cardio. It's like, oh my God, I'm going to pass out. But once you get into this state, you get this runner's high, which I think a lot of runners talk about.
Yes.
And, you know, in Eastern philosophy, they call this wu wei, you know, they call it effortless action, where it's like you see a runner and it's almost like they're gliding. Yeah. They're on the front of their feet and they're gliding. It's like, I don't run like that. Yeah. For me, it's like every single motion is like I need a pulley to pull me forward. And the reason why I'm saying this is because there's actually another paradox here, which is that if we get to a place of effortless action and we're just running at our pace, or we're doing our social media videos for real estate, or we're doing our video emails for sales, and we get into this comfort zone, there is actually no progress.
Agreed.
So let's work through this paradox together.
Yes.
Because I think it's one of the most challenging, where tennis is a great example, right? There's my tennis rackets. I literally hit a flat line in tennis. I was not improving whatsoever because I just went out there and I just did what I always did.
Right.
And I wasn't pushing myself. So how do we find the balance without messing with our mental health, without being hard on ourselves, like whipping ourselves, but at the same time, enjoying it?
Right.
Unpack that one for me.
Well, you know, that's a bit of a challenge in coming up with that. But you know, one of my first go-to for that is education, knowledge, push yourself to learning new things. You know, even with tennis, you know, what new ways can you make it more of a challenge? You know, in real estate, for me, part of that was, okay, I'm just going along, you know, consistently doing my business. I love change. I'm weird that way. I love change. So getting into just being consistent, it started to get boring for me. So what I found is if I challenge myself to work with a current sixth grader 10 years from now, what do I need to do to stay in business? Because if I do become complacent, I will be out of business in 10 years. So challenging myself to do videos like this, challenging myself to put up a YouTube video, to go onto Instagram, to do Facebook, to have different client events and have parties and get together with people. Sometimes all the things I think about gets exhausting and I don't have to do them, but yet I do have to do them. And I have to get myself out of my comfort zone. Otherwise, I'll be out of business in 10 years. So you're pushing yourself out of your comfort zone. Some of the ways I would suggest, you know, trying to do that is one, find people that are doing things different than you and learn from them. Figure out, are those things that you want to do, you know, do they make sense for you to do? Or are you consciously making a decision not to do it? Because sometimes the best decisions we make are saying, no, I'm not going to do that. So I learned from a really great realtor, and he was my mentor my first couple years, but a lot of what I learned from him is what not to do. I'm like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. But I learned what I wanted to do on the basis of what not to do. So constantly challenging yourself to learn something new. Pick up a book, read a book, listen to some great podcasts. That's going to get you out of your comfort zone.
Right. Well, I think another thing that people struggle with, and by the way, that's really, really good feedback. But I think what a lot of people suffer from is this idea of learning becomes a spectator sport.
Very true.
It's easy to listen to a video. It's easy to be on that Zoom call and you're watching the person saying, do this, this, and the other thing. And you're just sitting back. You're just sipping your water and you're saying, okay. And it's like a TV show. Yeah. And how do you get out of that? How do you lean, how do you lean in and say, you know what? I'm actually going to lift my hand. I'm going to click my mouse.
Well, and with you saying that, that's why so many top realtors are willing to share their secrets, because they know if they're lucky, one person that's watching is going to do what they say to do.
Right.
So they're like, I'll share all day long, because most likely anybody listening is not going to take that first step. And it's, you know, it's the individual's paradigm as to matching up, hearing the message at the right time. And I have a little talk. I actually just started Toastmasters through our SRA, our local board.
That's why you don't have a filler word.
I'm like, working on
basically, it. I'm not hearing one.
Right? And actually starting the Toastmasters, the local one, we just got our charter and everything. And it's one way of pushing myself out of my comfort zone, doing something different, keeping the challenges happening in my career. And, you know, with that, it really guides you to making good decisions along the way. But the main aspects of really finding that thing for you is when it's the right timing. For me, I like with running, I tried to run so many New Year's. Every New Year's, it's like, okay, I'm going to get into shape. I'm going to run this year. And I'd run two times and not again. And then maybe 2 years later, I'm going to run. You know, it's always, you know, New Year's, you make those resolutions of what you're going to change in your life. I probably tried to run at least 7 different years. The timing was never right. So I asked the question, what things have you tried in your past life that you really wish you could do, but every time you tried it, it wasn't the right timing? And maybe today is the right timing. So if you tried it and you say, you know, I've tried that. Well, maybe today is the right time to try it. Maybe the message you heard today on Zoom or on a podcast, maybe today is the right time. You've heard it 10 times in your life. So is today the day you're going to take action and do something that's going to make a difference in your career, in your personal life, in your tennis game, whatever it is.
Right. Well, since speaking of tennis, since I hit my flat line, I decided to switch over to pickleball. So,
and there you have it.
I did a pivot. I was like, I smile more on the pickleball court. Let's shift.
Right. So sometimes in life you have to pivot and you have to know if that's what you want to do at that time. There's so many things in life that you kind of got to look at, as we talked earlier about our shadows and stuff, but life's journey, it is okay to look back a little bit and imagine and say, okay, that's where I am here. You know, that's where I was. Here's where I am. And what projection do you want to have for your life? Who do you want to be now forward? When my husband and I hit our empty nester years, it was like we hit it with intention. Like, how do we want to design life now that our girls aren't at home? What does that look like? What are we going to do? And those same intentions can be used in the business world too. Looking back at what your business was like before, what it's like now, what's your projection, and what do you need to do to build your business and keep it moving forward in whatever way you want it to. So that's, you know, and sometimes it is making a U-turn. Sometimes it is turning tennis into pickleball instead. You're like, you know what? Been playing tennis all my life and, you know, I've hit my plateau. I want to give something else a try that's very similar and gives you a whole new, you know, beginning of things.
Right.
You'll never go back to tennis.
Well, it's back. Right. No, I mean, it's so interesting. Actually, just so you know, the reason why I switched is because I just smile more when I play pickleball versus tennis. There's a lot more. There's in the tennis crew that I was hanging out with, there's a lot of like self-loathing. And it's weird. It's with pickleball, there's so much more fun. People are just truly having a joyful time, which is why I think it's the fastest growing sport in America, because it's just fun as hell.
So I just bought pickleball tennis shoes.
Oh.
I haven't played yet.
Oh, well, you're going to with me.
But I bought the tennis shoes first. I saw them and I go, because I used to play tennis.
Oh.
And I am looking for something else to do, because as much as I'm enjoying my running, I know that I have hit a little bit of a plateau with running. And I need to mix in some other athletic skills, and that'll help my running as well. Right. So a friend said, you should do pickleball. And I went out and bought tennis shoes.
Well, we're going to play.
Okay. That'll be great.
Yeah. I mean, the interesting thing about just connecting the dots here is earlier we talked about the pillars, right?
Yes.
And we talked about a tripod with three, but a table with four. And the pillars of any sales professional in this case, one of them has to be promotion.
Yeah.
One of them has to be, you know, process. One of them has to be people. One of them has to be, what's our fourth P? Profit.
Right?
And there's probably a bunch of other P's as well. But pivoting is the art of having one pillar here and then moving the other one. So you still get to hold on to a core tenant.
Yes.
In this case, it's right?
Yeah.
It's still a racket sport, but I'm just reapplying it to a different sport. So I'm able to, you know, within weeks, you're able to, all of a sudden you're running again.
Yes.
And that's how it was. So I think that's just an important reminder. I really connect to this idea of investing in yourself, which I keep hearing from you indirectly. Yes. And I think that the definition of the best type of learner is someone that's, you know, willing to accept change. They want to progress in their life. They're ready to learn, but I think most importantly is they're actually ready to invest in themselves, time and money.
Right.
And I think that there's a lot of people that say, God, I'm not doing my social media videos. I'm not doing my email newsletters. And maybe you just need help. Maybe you just need to invest in yourself.
Right.
Because maybe that's not your core competency. But if you have someone come through that door every Tuesday and Thursday and say, we're recording 20 videos and you have no choice because you're paying them, you know, maybe that's the unlock. Take me through that. How do you invest in yourself?
You know, that accountability, if you have somebody that can really hold you accountable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of times people do pay for services that they don't even use. Mm-hmm. And they have a subscription and they don't even use it. And so it's often that human person, that other individual that will help you stay accountable. So I have that inner skill myself, but yet I have team members who I work on coaching and I help them stay on top of what they need to do. And very often when you're coaching and you're training and you're saying things, as much as I'm telling you about it, I'm telling myself, I need to get on this. I need to make sure I'm doing this. And so that's how I keep myself accountable. But sometimes you might just need to hire somebody to come through the door twice a week to say, okay, I'm here to work for you for 3 hours. Let's do the videos. Let's get this going. Let's make this happen. So your accountability partner is the critical thing. And with you going through all those different steps of what it takes, the main thing it takes is action. You have to take action. Mm-hmm. You can think everything. You can prepare everything. You had mentioned about education earlier too, and that, you know, we have all the education at our fingertips and just sit on, watch Zoom and search whatever you want to learn. I have friends that have had 5-6 degrees, you know, got bachelor's, master's, got a second master's, a third master's, and yet they are not out there actually putting those things to practice. They have all the education.
More degrees that the more degrees that you get, the more degrees of separation you get.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So taking action, when you hear something that is inspiring you and making you want to do more and be better at what you do, the next step is, what's your action step? Mm. What are you going to do today to make that happen?
Well, what a great place to kind of cap this. You know, what is the action that we're all going to take? Cindy, where can people connect with you? Social, any channels that you prefer? And then are you recruiting? If there's young agents out there that are looking for a new mentor?
Yes, absolutely. So I do have a small team here in Santa Clarita serving all of Los Angeles County. And we're always looking for other people that really want to have a team around them that will help them grow and be the best that they can be. So, you know, it's, you know, something that, you know, even my team members are often willing to chime in and help educate other people that join the team too. We're at The Real Brokerage. And Real Brokerage is actually one of the fastest growing real estate brokerages in this year. So I'm very thankful that I teamed up with them as the company to serve my clients at, because the resources that I have available, not only are they good to help me be the best realtor, but they also help us really be in a position to better helping our clients. So that's one of the most critical things for me when I chose where to put my real estate license. You can find me everywhere on social media. I do spell my name a little flip-flop. Cindy is C-Y-N-D-I, like Cindy Lauper, if you know, that might be an old reference, but
girls just want to have fun.
And, but Cindy Lozinski, and I'm on everything, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook.
Cool.
Yeah. Got it
and
all.
Then, nice. And you can also check the show notes. Well, Cindy, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate
you.
This is great.
I appreciate being here with you. This was awesome.
Connect with Cindy online. Thanks, Cindy. Appreciate you.
Thank you.